Now we have the greatest kids pastor, next gen pastor, whatever we want to call him. How many are thankful for Pastor Edgar? I am thankful for him. We're muting him. I don't know why, but we're just keeping him muted.
I was going to ask you, when's he getting here? I don't know. I want to meet him too, right?
We're thankful for his leadership in our kids' lives. Amen? Amen. What a blessing he is, not only to our kids, but every one of us as you continue to get to know Pastor Edgar. Continue to pray for him. Right? He's raising up not the future church, right? He's raising up the present church. Here in our, as part of our church family. So continue to commit him in prayer, and we're proud of him and proud of his leadership within our church family. And now he's going to do all the things that God has for him to do here today. So again, let's give him one more welcome here today.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor James. If I haven't met you, if we haven't crossed paths again, my name is Pastor Edgar, and I have the privilege of serving as your next gen pastor. I work alongside an amazing youth pastor, Pastor Garrett, and what an incredible team we have here, from the top down and from the bottom up, or left to right, however you want to say it, right? And not only on staff, but really our teams. You know, Pastor Garrett and I, we could not do what we do without those who serve in kids and youth ministry, right? And so we're so thankful for them. And so as part of today's Next Gen service, what we like to do every year is this time of year, we like to promote certain kids, certain youth on up, right? And we know that as our children get older, they're on to new things. And one of the things that we like to do is, when we hit first grade, it's a big milestone for our kids. You know, they're going from our junior kids ministry, which is roughly our pre-K and kindergartners, right? They've been there for a couple years, leaders pouring into them and giving them God's word at their level. And now as they enter in first grade, they're ready for big kids church, right? To go a little deeper, to press in a little harder, to get to know the Lord a little more at their age. And so that's what part of today is. And in a moment, Pastor Garrett will come up and talk to you a little bit about youth ministry. But at this time, if we have any first graders, if you're going to be heading into first grade in this new school year, why don't you come on up? You can bring mom and dad. You can bring your family with you. Don't be shy. Come on up, first graders. And as they come, let's give them a warm welcome. As you come up, you can just, no need to come up on stage, just kind of stay on the floor here. We have a gift for you, your family, and so if you're headed to first grade, Miss Lori, she's going to give you a gift, and there you go. Awesome. I love these first graders. They're so eager to come to Big Kids Church, right? Gabby right here, all year long, when am I going? When am I going? When am I going? And so it's such a blessing to see them grow, not only physically, but to grow in the Lord. And so, Miss Lori, you can go ahead and hand those gifts out if you don't mind. And so also at this time, I'm going to call up any students that are headed to sixth grade. You know, if you're headed to sixth grade, you're ready for our youth ministry. And like I said, Pastor Garrett will tell you a little bit more about that. But if you're headed into sixth grade, come on down or come forward. And so how about a round of applause for these students as we see them grow in the Lord. And so as they head down, Pastor Garrett, where'd you go? I saw you. There you are. And so Pastor Garrett will tell you a little bit about Awaken Youth Ministry, and then we'll bless these families, we'll pray over them, and we'll move on. What do you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have some gifts for you guys as well. So Caitlin's going to make her way over and give you guys some gifts. And just quickly telling you what the gifts are. Every one of our students has one of these Awaken notebooks. So that's really just forever, whatever you want it to be, right? If you want to bring it to Wednesday Night Youth and write some notes, if you want it for a spiritual journal, whatever it is you want to use it for. And then we also have a little devotion book for your parents. You know, it's just, we encourage you parents, be in the Word with your kids. It's important. You know, when you're sitting around that dinner table, don't waste those precious minutes. So that devotion is for that. And we gave him a little wristband. I just want to take a second to share with you. On that wristband, there's a specific verse. It's Matthew 5, verse 16. And this really sums up what we are wanting from our students and what we want Awaken Youth to be. It says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I mean, we need some more light in this world, don't we? We do, especially, starting them young and just being able to, you know, be in their schools and then eventually be in their workplaces. This is what we want for our students. We want to mold them into the young men and the women that God is calling them to be. So that's what we're all about. And we're excited to have you guys in youth. We're going to be playing some crazy games. That's why we have permission slips signed, right? Just in case. No, I'm just joking. But we're going to have a great time, but also we're going to be diving into the Word. And it makes my job easier because Pastor Edgar does a great job with them in kids' church. So it's a smooth transition, right? Because they know the importance of the Word of God. So let's just go ahead, and if you want to extend an arm, if you're feeling led and you want to come lay a hand on one of the parents' shoulders, let's do it, right? So let's just go ahead and pray over every single one of them today. Lord God, we just pray, Lord, over the incoming first graders, Lord God, and Lord God, just their parents as well, Lord. Lord, that you will just continue to pour your presence out on each one of the households, Lord God, that the parents will just lead their children, Lord God. Lord, it's never too young for us to start just feeding young children, Lord God, the Word of God, Lord God, so that you can become their firm foundation from a young age, Lord. Lord, we pray for the incoming first graders and that you will just call them from a young age, Lord, that they will know that their true identity is that they are a child of God. Lord, that no confusion will get in their heads, Lord, and they will just know the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray for our incoming sixth graders, Lord God, and we pray for their parents, Lord. Teenage years are difficult, Lord, but I pray that they will be strong spiritual leaders, the parents in the household, Lord God. And Lord, that the way they live their life will be a model of how these sixth graders should be living their life. And we pray over the sixth graders, Lord, that you will just continue to pour your presence out on them. And Lord God, maybe they're struggling with purpose right now, and they're not knowing, Lord, what is their purpose? Do they have a purpose? But Lord, we pray that you will show them that they have a purpose, and Lord God, you designed them for a specific plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, families, you're welcome to head back to your seats. Thank you for coming up. We love you guys, and we're so excited to see what God is going to do in the lives of your children and in your family. And so at this time, I'm going to call up a friend of mine who's out there somewhere. Is Aubrey out there? Come on up, Aubrey. Aubrey's going to help me in just one moment. But before we do that, let's check out this video. Not working? Oh boy. This is those times where you have the art of filling in time while our awesome tech crew up there tries to figure it out. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Maybe not? Okay. It's all right. We're going to save it for next week. Can we do that? We have a celebration video, and it's important that we celebrate what's going on, right? Like we're doing today with not only our next generation, but all generations. So next week, you got to promise me, you got to come back. We're going to figure that out. It's going to be an awesome video for you guys to watch. Amen? All right. And so, like I said, I have my friend Aubrey here. She's going to help me out. She's going to read our main text for today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible app, go ahead and open that up. We're going to be reading out of 2 Kings chapter 5. And like I said, here we go. Do we have it? Uh-oh. You're teasing us. Let's see. Do we have it?
All right.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, so,
Let's watch. Let's see. Uh-oh. Come on, Lord Jesus. You could do it. You could do it. Okay. All right. Next week. I promise you. Next week. I promise you. Again, 2 Kings chapter 5. It'll be on the screen. Kids, if you're out there, make sure you're following along with your sermon notes. And so here's my friend Aubrey. She's going to read just a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 5.
The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But through Naaman was a mighty warrior. He suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said, "Go and visit the prophet." The king of Aram told him. Let's skip to verse 14. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please join me in the word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for your word, and thank you for your presence with us here today. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and minds to understand and open hearts to what you have for us today. We ask this in the name of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus. Amen."
Amen. Thank you, Aubrey. High five. Good job. Excellent job. You can rejoin your family. And so, you know, I love this story, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But as we open up today, I kind of have a crazy thought for you, maybe a question, right? If I were to ask you, what does it take to change the world, right? I'm sure there'd be a lot of answers out there. And so going along with today's sermon title, World Changers, what does it take to change the world? Maybe some of you might say, "Hey, listen, Pastor Edgar, all we need is more money, right? More money to change things. Money makes the world go round. We can, you know, more medicine, technology, fight poverty, all those things, right?" Others might say, you might argue, "Hey, listen, politics is how we change the world, right? And vote the right guy in, or woman, and vote the right person in, or change, make the right laws, and maybe we could change things." Maybe. And so still, some would say that true change comes from some type of influence, right? We don't have to look any farther, right, than our digital device, right? Subscribe, click, follow, all those things. And you can find exactly who you're looking for to follow. And maybe you can be part of the next big thing that happens, right? And so maybe, just maybe, some of you might say, "Hey, listen, if we want real change, if we want to really change the world, maybe we could somehow have less crazy drivers in this world, right? You know, less road rage." And I'm trying really hard not to look at some of my family or even my lead pastor. But anyways, I'm going to keep moving on. No, I didn't say that. I didn't. He's a perfect driver just when he's on his own, right? He's excellent. Anyways. So, but you know, the list could go on, right? The list could go on, but I consulted with a few of my friends, and I asked their opinion on what it would take to change the world. And so I think hopefully we have this video on what it would take to change the world. Here, let's see. Here we go. What does it take to change the world?
Time machines.
What does it take to change the world?
To live at Disney World.
What does it take to change the world?
Flying cars.
What does it take to change the world?
Every day was Christmas Day.
What does it take to change the world?
Make Taco Tuesday a holiday.
What does it take to change the world?
Everyone has superpowers.
All right, what does it take to change the world?
No homework.
What would it take to change the world?
Flying cars.
What does it take to change the world?
No more vegetables.
What would it take to change the world?
cupcakes.
Awesome. Cupcakes. Yes, Thea, cupcakes. Listen, if we had more cupcakes, I think the world would be a better place, right? And so, listen, I love that. I love that. Two of them really want some flying cars. I don't know. Maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll get it. So listen, church, I believe that as genuine, devoted followers of Christ, this is a question that we have to wrestle with, right? What does it take to change the world? You know, we don't need to look very far, right, to see that the world we live in is broken, right? Families and marriages falling apart, right? There's, you know, moms and dads who are barely making ends meet, kids struggling with anxiety and loneliness, right? We have teens fighting all kinds of battles in their minds and in their hearts. And, you know, many of us here today, maybe we have loved ones who are dealing with sickness or some type of addiction, right? And maybe you walked in today feeling unsure about how to handle whatever it is that you're going through. And every time, every struggle reminds us that things aren't the way that they should be, right? And so the question remains, what does it take to change the world, right? And I believe God's word is clear. You see, if we're to change the world, I believe all we need is a heart that cares and the courage to act. A heart that cares and the courage to act. It starts with God's people. See, changing the world starts with you and me, right? Going out, sharing the hope of Christ, sharing the love of Christ to those who need it. Amen? And the reality is that this world that we call home right now, right, is full of pain, hurt, suffering, all those things, but there is a mighty God who is more than able, church, right, to meet every need, a God that can wipe every tear, he can heal every disease, he can fix every situation imaginable, right? He can do it, church, he really can. A God that can take whatever you are going through right now, right, and change your world around and for your benefit and for his glory. But, you know, the one thing that I sometimes wrestle with is this. If I'm just being honest, right, I know God can do it. I know he can do all things. I know that with beyond a shadow of a doubt. But what I wrestle with sometimes is how he gets it done. Right? The God who is more than able to accomplish everything he would ever need to do all by himself, he really doesn't need our help. But guess what? He chooses to bring us along. He chooses to use ordinary people like you and like me to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Right? This all-powerful God, believe it or not, he delights in seeing his people, you know, fulfill his plan and his purpose for those around us, right? Church, all we need is a heart that cares and the courage to act. If we want to see him do mighty things and to be used by him, a heart that cares and the courage to act. Because guess what? When a heart in need, think about this, when a heart in need encounters the heart of God, it's forever changed. Like, you cannot encounter God without your life being changed, right? It's impossible. When a heart in need collides with the heart of God, you are changed forever. You are no longer the person that you used to be. Amen? And that's exactly what we see in 2 Kings chapter 5. And this story takes place after Solomon's reign, right? If you've read God's word, and I hope you are, especially the kids out there, right? And the kingdom was divided, we know this. Israel to north, Judah to the south. And during this time, Israel and Aram, they were at odds. They were enemies, right? And here we have this powerful leader. His name is Naaman, right? And he's this great big commander. He's done great things for his king, but he has a serious problem. You guys know what it is? What did he have? Leprosy, right? And he's desperate for healing. He was, and he's told in God's word to go seek out the prophet Elijah, right? He's told to go seek him out. And so Naaman gets on his horse or his camel. I don't know what they rode, but maybe on foot. Who knows, right? So he takes off, he goes. And we talked about this last week in kids' church. He goes to see the prophet Elijah. He knocks on his door, and guess what? Elijah doesn't come out. He doesn't come out. Instead, he sends a messenger out to talk to Naaman, right? And the messenger says, hey, listen, the prophet Elijah, he sent me to tell you to go to the Jordan River and dip yourself. Let's see if you guys know. How many times? Seven times, right? He said, go dip yourself seven times. Now, Naaman, he throws a little fit. Right, he throws a fit. He's like, I don't want to do that. There's better rivers somewhere else. And you know, he's expecting, you know, the prophet to wave his hand and hocus pocus. I don't know what he's expecting, right? But he's expecting that. And yet, after throwing his little tantrum, he finally does what he's told to do. And what happens? He dips a seventh time. He comes up what? Miraculously healed, right? And I love this story. I've preached from this before, but there's one thing I want us to focus on this morning. There's a small detail in this story that made the difference, right? And in verse 2, we read this. Among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. You see, this young girl had a heart that cared, right? And the courage to act. Her part in this story might have been small, right? But her impact was huge. And I find it interesting. As we read the story, Scripture doesn't give us much about this young girl. We don't know her name. We don't know her exact age. Yes, she was young. I don't know. I'm thinking elementary, middle school, whatever. We don't know her age, but we know that she'd been taken from her home, separated maybe from her family, serving as a maid in Naaman's home. She had no position, she had no power, no kind of influence in her life, right? She had no voice. And the truth is this. This unnamed girl had every reason to stay silent, right? No reason to speak up, no reason to even care. And, you know, and at a time where her culture, you know, kind of viewed her as a nobody, God saw a somebody, right? Somebody that he wanted to use. And he saw this young person full of faith with the heart of compassion, right? And the courage to do something. And God used this young girl in this little act of faith. Again, if you read through the story, you probably miss it. This small act of faith to start something big, even in the middle of her own crazy circumstance, right? And in verse 3, she boldly speaks up and she says this, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. You see, in just one sentence, in just a few words, this girl steps out of the shadows and she becomes a world changer, right? Her words were few, but guess what? The faith that she had inside was bold, was huge, right? And she recognized that Naaman's problem was big, but guess what? She loved and she served and she knew a God that was bigger. And so she couldn't stay quiet. She just had to say something. And what I find amazing is even this child, this young girl, even in her hard place where she was, she remembered her God, right? And despite her own circumstance, she still cared deeply for Naaman. She saw a need, and again, she had the courage to speak up and to say something, right? When she could have just stayed silent. Church, I can't help believe. I often think about this story, and I can't help but believe that our young people, we just saw them stand just a few minutes ago, that our young people can have the same kind of impact in their world around them as this little girl did in hers, right? They too can speak life into hopeless situations in their homes, and in their schools, on their sports teams, in their neighborhoods, wherever they go, they can speak life and the love of Christ into these situations, right? God can use them to change their world no matter what is going on in their own life. God can use them. God sees them, church. And I believe he can use them in mighty ways. See, I believe the story of this young girl reveals three truths. Three truths of how God can use the next generation, the kids and the students right here today, to make a lasting impact on the world around them. The next generation can know God deeply. They can speak boldly. And they can be used to change lives around them. Let's look at the first. The next generation can know God deeply. You know, I often hear the phrase, children are the church of tomorrow, right? We've heard something in that form or variation of it. And while it's true, right, and one day they're going to be in our place, right, the truth is, listen, we can't wait. In fact, we can't afford to wait. They are the church of today. And our kids and our students sitting right here right now can know God deeply. They can know him deeply, right? From the kids in the nursery right now to those who are graduating high school. God wants to reveal himself in a powerful way, right? To where he can use them in a way to change their world. And guess what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, I believe these kids and these students, they can be used to reach the hurting, the lonely, and the hopeless in ways that you and I could never do, right? They can do it. I believe they can. But can I let you in on a little something? Maybe, I don't know if it's a secret or what, but if we really want to see this happen, if we want to see our kids and our students know God deeply, you know, we got to be part of it. We got to be a part of it. We have to raise fully devoted followers of Jesus. It's going to take every single one of us. I looked around. I saw you raise your hands doing the dedication. I looked, right? It's going to take every single one of us. We all have to take an active role if we're going to see this come to pass. You see, there's babies in the nurseries that need you to pray over them. Preschoolers who need you to explore and imagine with them, right? There's elementary kids who need us to make God's word real to them. There's middle schoolers who are longing for guidance and structure and belonging. Isn't that right, Pastor Garrett? There's high schoolers who need us to walk with them as they wrestle through life and with God's word and truth. It's up to us, church. It's up to us. It's up to us to encourage them and help them see the calling that they have on their life, because every one of these kids and every one of these students has a calling on their life. God has made them for a specific reason. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of them. And there's an opportunity for all of us to get involved and to play a part, right? We need to do it together if we're going to see this next generation as fully devoted followers of Christ. Proverbs 22:6 tells us this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:7, Pastor just read this a moment ago. Such an important scripture. Reminds us, repeat God's truths, his word, right, again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. And I love these scriptures. And while these scriptures are in no way a guarantee, right, of our child's lifelong obedience to God, you know what they are? They're a call for action on our part. They're a call for action. We have to be purposefully and actively engaged in their lives. We need to give our young people every opportunity to know God deeply, right? To spend time with them in God's word every day, right? And by showing them how to pray powerful prayers, and by making it a priority, like Pastor just said a moment ago, to be part of a faith community, to come here on a Wednesday, to come here on a Sunday, to get poured into, right? That's our part. You see, Scripture makes it clear that parents are the primary spiritual influencers, right? We just saw that a moment ago in the dedication. But here's the thing. As a church, we also need to walk alongside these families. In a real and tangible way, we ought to be praying for them, encouraging them. Hey, saying, hey, listen, how can I help you with, you know, as a mom or as a dad and what you're doing, right? I challenge you, church. I challenge you, find a student. Find a child that you can come alongside and invest in whatever way you can. Because here's the truth. We can't afford to stand on the sidelines, right? We can't afford to stand on the sidelines while the enemy fights for the hearts and the minds of our kids. And that's a real battle. It's a battle. It's a battle here, and the time is now. And we are the ones, church, you and I are the ones that God has called to lead this next generation. We all have a part in helping our young people know God deeply. Point number two is this. the next generation can speak boldly. You see, Scripture doesn't say that this young girl, that she didn't wait for like the perfect moment. She didn't wait for a platform. She didn't overthink it. She didn't stop and say, you know what, let me pray about this, right? She didn't do it. She saw a need, and with bold faith, this young girl, she spoke up and said something. Imagine for just a moment. Imagine a generation of kids and students who rise up with unshakable faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Young voices speaking hope, the hope of Christ in their schools. Students who bring comfort and encouragement to friends at school. Children who pray bold, faith-filled prayers over their parents and over their families. Teenagers who share the love of Christ with strangers, unashamed of the gospel. Why? Because they're on fire for Jesus. Amen. I'm believing God for this. I don't know about you, but I'm believing that God can and will use the next generation in a mighty way. I'm believing that we're going to see our communities, church. We're going to see our communities, our schools, in our world transformed in ways that we would have never dreamed. Why? Because you and I have led the way in forming the hearts and minds of this next generation. Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." You see, the Holy Spirit empowers our young people, right? Not to shrink back in fear, but to live with boldness. He empowers them to love those around them, and He empowers them with the strength to face whatever comes their way. That reminds me of the young girl in our story. You know, whether she knew it or not, Holy Spirit was empowering her to speak up and to do something in this situation. Church, it's in our kids. It is. It's in our children. But we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing, right? We know that God has, you know, placed it in them, placed that potential in each one of these kids and children and students, right? We know that. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we as a church doing to stir up what God has already placed in there? You know, are we living out boldness in front of them, not just in words, but in action? Do our young people see us stepping out in faith, right? Do we believe the impossible when the world around us says, nope, can't do it? Do we believe that, right? Do they see a church that doesn't settle, but do they see a church that prays, that presses in, and that just does what it can until God moves and miracles happen? Do they see that here, right? Do they see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation when we come together? It's so important. Listen, we're Pentecostals, right? We got to show our kids what the Holy Spirit can do in and through their lives, but it starts with us. We owe it to our young people to show them what bold, mountain-moving faith looks like. You know, every child and every student in our care must know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they got to know this, that we are committed to awakening the God-given potential that's inside each and every one of them, right? Because they're not the church of tomorrow. Instead, they're the warriors. They're the leaders. They're the parents. They're the world changers right now. God is forming that in them. He's forming it in them. And they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Nothing brings me more joy, and sometimes we talk about these things in staff. Nothing brings me more joy than when I have a child come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor Edgar, I've been praying for this one thing, and I've been praying for weeks and weeks, and finally God answered my prayer," right? And I don't know if you've ever been around me when I'm talking to kids, but if you ever come up to me in the hallway and I see a kid, I'm putting you on pause. Right, I'm putting you on pause. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm going to say that right now. But if I'm talking to you in the hallway and a kid comes up and I know they're looking at me, I'm putting you on hold for just a sec because I want to know what God has laid on the heart of this child, right? Whether it's to show me that they just got a new pen or whether it's to tell me that God has answered a prayer, right? And I love when kids do that. And I love when they tell me, "Mom and Dad, when me and Mom and Dad, we read God's Word every day before bed." It blesses my heart. Thank you, parents, for those that are spending time with your kids that way. And I'm just as moved when others in our church invest in the next generation. Listen, there's so many that on, like I said in the moment ago, on the kids ministry team, on the youth ministry team, right? So many that serve in so many different ways. But then there's others. Well, I don't know, is Mary Rankin here? Mary, I see you, Mary Rankin. I know you're not giving me eye contact. I see Mary Rankin every Sunday. I love when I see Mary because she comes up to a little baby in the hallway. And I know this sounds bad, but she snatches that baby out of the mom's hand and she loves on that baby. She kisses on that baby. She just speaks life into that baby, right? I love that. And many of you don't know this, but occasionally on a Sunday morning before church starts, where's Jerry Arts? Where's Jerry? I don't know if Jerry's here today, right? But Jerry, he'll come into the gym and he'll start to shoot hoops with our kids. And the kids love that. They love shooting hoops with him. And let me tell you, don't shoot hoops with Jerry because he'll win. I'm telling you. The man can shoot hoops, okay? And the kids love that. And they don't know this. They're not on any official team, but they're pouring into the next generation just by speaking life, just by hanging out, just by doing something with them. They see that. I love that. You know, and I heard it once said, church, that the sign of a healthy and growing church is when the generation ahead is deeply invested and committed in the generation that follows. That's a healthy church. Because when one generation pours out their faith, their wisdom, and encouragement into the next, we're going to see kingdom impact like you've never seen before. If we're committed to doing those things, we're going to see the kingdom move in ways that we have never seen, even past our own lifetime and maybe even theirs. You see, I got to believe that the girl in our text, I got to believe that someone in her life was shaping her faith. Somebody was pouring into her. Someone modeled that boldness and passed down that faith strong enough to speak, for her to speak up, to speak life into a desperate situation. Maybe it was a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, whatever it was. Someone saw the potential in her and chose to invest in her, right? Someone chose to invest. In church, if we want to see our young people step out with that same type of boldness and exercise that same type of faith, it starts with us. We got to be the example, right? We need to teach them to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to reflect the character of Christ no matter where they are, home, school, neighborhoods, wherever it is. It's up to us to lead the way. And as I get into my last point, I'm going to have the worship team come up. And I want to, this last point is this. The next generation can be used to change lives. You know, one of the things that I want to mention is that we see in this story, right, the little girl points Naaman to the prophet Elijah, right? Now, The little girl didn't heal him, we know that. Not even the prophet Elijah healed him, we know that. But they both knew, they were both part of this story, both part of God's plan to point Naaman in the right direction to where he could ultimately receive his healing and God could receive the glory, which he did. And you see, in just a few words, this little girl, she set in motion a chain of events that led to his healing, his spiritual transformation, the word says, in a man that he was a powerful guy, a leader of an army, right? It humbled him. It changed him. And I have an idea. I have a crazy idea. What if you and I didn't look at this generation as too young? What if we didn't look at them as too inexperienced? What if we, you know, didn't look at them as not mature enough and not ready to be used by God? And dare I say this, what if we didn't look at the next generation as an inconvenience? But instead, we saw them as God called, even at their young age, to be a critical part of how he wants to accomplish his will in and through their lives and through in and through our church. I don't know about you, but listen, if a shepherd boy can become king, if a teenager sold into slavery can rise to rule Egypt, if the son of a praying mother can grow to be a prophet, if the simple lunch of a boy can feed thousands, and if a young servant girl can speak up and change someone's life, imagine what God can do through this next generation, the kids and the students that are here right now. Church, I see it in them. And my prayer is that you see it too. Look around. There are world changers in the seats right now. We don't know how God's going to use them. We don't know what He's going to plan inside of them to do, how to speak up or where to go or how to impact the life. But someday, not far from now, these kids are going to be grown. Maybe they'll be sitting right here with their own families, leading communities and shaping the world around them. And my deepest hope is this, that when they look back, church, when they look back, they'll be able to say, my church, Bethel Christian, did everything it could to help me to know God deeply, to teach me that bold faith isn't just for grown-ups, and that I can boldly speak the truth wherever I go. And my church helped me see that I was created on purpose to be used by God to change lives around me. Church, we serve a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, especially through the hearts of this next generation. And all it takes, church, is a heart that cares and the courage to act. Amen. Father, Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're moving among the next generation. Lord, I thank you that I see in tangible ways how you are moving in the lives of our kids and our students. I see it, Lord. But Lord, let us as a church not just sit back and watch, but let us be, all of us, an important part of the plan that you have for our church and the plan that you have for this next generation that's rising up. And so as they lead us just in this short song, I want us to reflect on this. I want us to reflect on how it is that we can play a part in seeing these kids, these students, to raise them up as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ that can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you to reflect on how you could be a part of it. This isn't a recruiting scheme for kids or youth ministry. Listen, we all can play a part, whether you're on kids or youth team or not. We all have a part to play. I challenge you to invest in the life of a child or a student. That time is never wasted.
Thank you.
You know, before we can step out and step up and help the next generation, it starts inside of us first. Before we could ever do anything for our kids and our students, we got to make sure that our life is right. And so if you're here today, maybe you're here for the first time, you're visiting, you're here with maybe one of the students that was promoted, or for the child dedication. If you're here and you say, Pastor Edgar, you know what? I want to make a difference in the next generation, but first I got to make a difference in my life. And church, it starts with a relationship with Christ. That's the foundation. You and I will never be able to do anything for this next generation if we don't take that bold step of faith and ask Christ into our heart. And so if that's you today, if you want to ask Christ into your heart for the very first time, or if you say, Pastor Edgar, hey, listen, I just need to renew my life. I've kind of slipped away. I haven't been the person God has called me to be. If that's you, this prayer is for you too. And I pray that if you pray this prayer, you would take a bold step of faith and find a leader, find a pastor, maybe even someone on the Connect team that you would connect with and say, hey, yes, I made that decision. I made that decision to follow Christ. And so, Father, today we just ask you, Lord, to just impress on the hearts of your people, Father, how much you love them, how at the cross you gave your life for them. You thought of each and every one of us, Lord, as you hung there on the cross, Father, as you paid the ultimate price. You thought of each and every one of us. And so, Lord, today, if there's someone in this room today, Father, that has not accepted you, Father, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way. Father, I pray that if there's people within the sound of my voice, maybe even watching online, Father, that if they've slipped away, if they've not been the person you've called them to be, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come back to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would move in a mighty way. Holy Spirit, work in the lives and in the hearts of all of us, Lord. Father, help us to impact this next generation. Lord, I pray that days and maybe weeks or years from now, Father, we will see a generation that we poured into that can know you deeply, Lord, that can speak with boldness, Father, and they can change lives around them. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the privilege of pouring into this next generation. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And Lord, I just pray that you just continue to do the work that you started today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise God. God is good. Amen. We are world changers. Not just us, our kids. Every one of us have that ability, have that anointing on our lives as men and women of God to transform those that God has placed in our lives by the power of God. And so today, as we close out our service, we're going to pray over our team once again, pray over our kids, and then we're going to dismiss you. You can go down to the fireside room. Anyone like ice cream? We can have dessert first, right, today? So anyway, we invite you right down that hallway. You'll be able to find the fireside room on your right-hand side, and we have ice cream. And just want to fellowship with each other for just a few minutes before we go today. But let's just close at a time of prayer. We're thankful for our Next Gen team, Pastor Edgar and Pastor Garrett as well. I think he's already down that way. But let's just close out in prayer today. Lord God, we love you. God, we thank you for your presence in this place today. We thank you, Lord, for those leaders that you've called into our church, Lord, that have partnered with us and partnering with our kids to lead them deeper in their relationship with you. And God, I pray over every family that's represented here, every mom and dad. God, I pray that you would let your anointing rest on them. God, give them wisdom as they counsel their kids. Help them to point their kids to you and help them to teach your word to the next generation. And Lord, be with our kids. Let your anointing rest on them and every one of us to be world changers, God. We love you so much. Thank you for what you're doing in our church family. And God, I pray that you would just bless this ice cream to our bodies. And Lord, just help us to have a great time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week and look forward to seeing you over this next week on Wednesday night and also Sunday coming up. God bless.